morning, Casey.
Good morning, Katie.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful.
Yes.
It's a happy Tuesday morning.
Love it. It's spring, and I'm not dying from pollen and enjoying the weather.
There you go.
Sleeping through the night for like a week straight. So, yeah, I'm on a whole other level right now.
Gotta love when the babies finally sleep. Yeah.
It's a miracle.
It is a miracle.
It's really a miracle.
Yeah. Goodness.
All right. So, today you wanted to talk about food sensitivity.
Yes.
Okay. And like, tell me a little bit more about what prompted it.
So, a lot of people come into my office and they claim they have allergies to foods. And there are certain things, yeah, we do have allergies to, but more common than not, we have a sensitivity or our body can't digest something properly. And so we get these reactions that people think are allergic reactions, but they really aren't. And so I thought maybe we could speak on that a little bit and get your little nutrition noggin.
Sure. Well, I'm going to start with like medical noggin.
Yeah, let's do that first.
Anytime like somebody has an anaphylactic reaction or angioedema, those are two words that are scary in the medical world. I mean, words that send you to the emergency room off for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have anaphylactic reactions. That's when your immune system dumps huge amounts of immunoglobulin, IgE. And when you have an IgE immune response, you're going to get the life-threatening type of response.
Mm-hmm.
People have those, like, if they get stung by a bee,
mm-hmm.
If they, or any kind of insect, a lot of times will do that to people. If they eat, you know, peanuts for kids, they get a lot of those type reactions too. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's like very quick. It is immediately after you've been exposed, like within 15 minutes, I'll say, of being exposed to whatever it is that causes that reaction. You have a huge amount of swelling, and it's usually in relation to your airway. So lips, tongue, throat, bronchioles. Your blood pressure bottoms out, and you go into shock. So you have to go to, you know, a lot of people have EpiPens, like these are to bring the blood pressure back up and start the process of getting you stable so that you can calm that immune response down, and it does require you to go to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
If someone comes to me and says, I'm allergic to whatever it is, medication, food, anything, I assume that's what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
Something on them swelled up real quick after they came in contact with it. Within 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I take it very seriously.
Yeah.
If somebody says, I am allergic to shellfish, we are going to avoid shellfish like the plague because I don't want to kill you. Like, it will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people confuse the words.
Yeah.
Allergy to sensitivity and intolerance. And in the case of medication, really unwanted side effect.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have sensitivity, intolerance, and unwanted side effect of foods.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you can anything, any chemical or pathogen really that you come in contact with. So
mm-hmm.
knowing the difference between the definitions is a good place to start with some people. I think anytime anybody says I have an allergy, I say, okay, when you say allergy, do you mean your throat swells and you like tries to close up and can't breathe and you had to go to the hospital and they're like, oh no. And I'm like, okay, we're going to change that word and figure out what word we should use in place of it. Are you sensitive enough for it to cause you discomfort and you know, don't enjoy it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But that term sensitivity as it relates to food is really a really big, broad variety of symptoms that you can have because they're different immunoglobulin responses. When you say sensitivity, it's still an immune response.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of the IgE, your responses are IgG and IgA. So you've got those two immunoglobulins, and they are not those immediate responders. So it's not the case that you're going to eat a food and have a reaction within 10-15 minutes. it may be hours to days, up to a week in some cases, before you experience the effect that that food, the negative effect that that food will have, because you have a sensitivity response by your immune system. And it's, again, really hard to figure out because if I eat, I don't know, an egg today, and next week I get hives, because it's not always a GI response. You don't always get the like cramping and bloating. A lot of times it's a skin response.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my hives may not come for a week. And if I don't know, and I say, okay, I got hives, and just so happened the meal right before that I ate shrimp. And, you know, people might think, oh, you're definitely allergic to shrimp. Mm-hmm. And then you go get the IgA testing for the skin, you know, that you would go to like an allergist for. And they're like, no, you're not allergic to shrimp. And you're like, what?
I've been avoiding this delicious food for
right?
this long. Yeah.
Yeah, and people get like their minds blown because they just have been told, oh, it had to have been that food because that's what you ate immediately before you had this response. But it's not always the case. I mean, and even in the case, sometimes you're like, you will have like chest tightness almost, like you feel short of breath, but not from the immediate food.
Mm-mm.
So that's why it's really, really hard to like pinpoint the sensitivities. And then that other word, the intolerances,
mm-hmm.
is like a lactose intolerance. And it means exactly what you said. Your body can't digest that substance appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be, if it is lactose, you don't have the enzyme to break down the milk sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of humans don't carry that to break down cow's milk sugar. So that's, you know, one of those reasons why anybody comes and says, what should I do? And I say, you should eliminate dairy. And they're like, I don't wanna. But it's usually because there's a big portion of people that are just intolerant to dairy, and they literally have been tolerating that, those side effects from the intolerance for their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three main differences between those words.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the intolerant state, there is no immune response. It's just you're lacking the ability to digest. Now, whether that's, say, you're intolerant to a complex or a protein, for example, maybe you just don't have low enough stomach acid, or you're on a proton pump inhibitor, you've been on it for years, and you don't do well with big quantities of protein at one time, because
mm-hmm.
your stomach acid is that first part of your body that starts to break down the protein. You don't have that. So your body, it takes a lot out of you to really get through that protein.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are like, I just don't tolerate meat. There's a reason why.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily because they're allergic or sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like when you get bit by a tick, you can't have hoofed meat.
Right, alpha gal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, I mean, there's all sorts of things that can cause intolerances. And especially, I mean, as we age, our body's tolerances change.
Exactly. You can become intolerant to something at any point. You can become sensitive to something at any point.
Mm-hmm.
Based on your level of stress. And, you know, you are going through a phase where you really like to eat. I'm going to go with eggs again. I don't know why. But say you're going through a phase where you really like eat. You've been eating a lot of eggs. And in that same time period, your husband dies.
Mm-hmm.
And that trauma response from your body sometimes like can relate it to the protein structure of whatever is in your body at that time. And your body's trying to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like confused and overwhelmed and saying, we're going to attack whatever this is just because we're stressed out and we're here, so let's attack this. And then, like, an intolerance or sensitivity forms.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Our body is so
I know.
Complex.
The psychosomatic pathway is just really cool.
It is.
I mean, it's not cool that it makes you sensitive to foods,
right.
But the fact that it can change your physiological response to things just based on a chemical response from an emotion or
right, yeah.
being in distress is pretty incredible. I think Nala thinks we're in distress because she's over here all
Mom,
over me.
Mom, you alright, Mom?
Mom, hi.
Here's
hi, Mom.
Hug.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a kiss.
You're beautiful. Can I work?
Okay, you can work if you want to.
She's a mess.
You gotta work and hug me.
So I do have another question for you. Ruby was cow's milk. They told us she was allergic.
Mm-hmm.
But because she had the hemat culture, had blood in it.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that look like in kids, and why can they sometimes eventually have cow's milk? Like, now she drinks cow's milk every day, and it's not a problem.
So that's a really good question. How we're born and the immune pieces that are passed from our mother to us through birth or through breast milk or just, you know, having been in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our immune system does pass. We have passive immunity, for example, to certain diseases in utero. And you know, a lot of your microbiome and a lot of your immune system is affected by how your mom's immune system was, how stressed out she was. If, for example, like, I mean, this is super specific and maybe not the case in mm-hmm. this particular, in your child's case, but
yeah.
It could be that if you had developed some type of sensitivity to cow's milk because while you're pregnant, like, say you were drinking a lot of it and stressed out, like we just talked about, and your body was becoming more sensitive to it, and you had to produce these IgA or IgG antibodies to a particular structure of cow's milk, the protein in it,
mm-hmm.
pass that to Ruby.
Yeah.
And then, so she's got that now. And not to mention, their immune systems are so immature that they are very sensitive. Their skin is super sensitive to everything.
yeah.
Because their immune systems are learning.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you're not typically always born with this allergy response, but the sensitivity response can definitely come from mom to baby, especially in the case of C-sections where you're not getting through the vaginal flora.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of, like, not receiving any breast milk, there's no, like, that passive protective immunity isn't there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these factors that play into that. And then, too, that, you know, even moms who are strictly breastfeeding, who their kids, you know, have this, they've got these bloody stools and they are, like, colicky and have all these, you know, crying spells and gassy and all these things. And we're saying, okay, it's definitely something in mom's milk. And we tell mom, cut out dairy. And, you know, sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't. And it's like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very controversial. But a lot of people say, you know, is it the vaccines that they receive mm-hmm. from the get-go that are affecting their immune response too? So, I mean, there's literally so many variables.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of a CAMP or CMPA, sorry, cow's milk protein allergy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I spelled camp. Pretty sure.
You did. That's okay.
Cow's milk protein allergy. That, again, would have to have been, to be truly diagnosed, would have been like a blood skin type test where they're trying to trigger that IgE response.
Mm-hmm.
And those are very, very rare. But eliminating dairy from a baby that's sensitive to it, if their symptoms go away, they're definitely sensitive to it. They have some kind of immune response to it. So, but the cause of it is not, there's really not like one way to know in particular.
Yeah.
It's definitely complex.
Yeah. And I think, well, with Ruby and I both, I was a C-section baby. She ended up being a C-section baby. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of those immunities don't pass to them because she doesn't go through the vaginal canal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the same allergy. I was on soy milk growing up, mm-hmm. but we did goat's milk with her because it had less lactose. And it worked for her perfectly.
Yeah. And then when you remove that trigger, and the immune system has a chance to kind of recalibrate, we'll say,
mm-hmm.
the next time it's introduced, especially once their immune system has matured, their gut has matured, they don't have the same response.
Yeah.
Because in newborns, the reason why we don't give babies foods, like solid foods, until they're after at least 6 months or they're sitting up, there's certain guidelines that they have, is because they're born with leaky guts.
Mm-hmm.
And we can develop leaky gut. We can actually never get tight junctions in our gut if, you know, your super traumatized. You go through a traumatic infancy. Mm-hmm. I think that's a word. I'm not sure. But
yeah,
our body is trying to make those good tight junctions in our cells of our intestinal lining so that those different proteins and stuff don't pass through. When they're little, like below 6 months, and those junctions are larger, we want the things that are getting into their bloodstream to be broken down enough that their immune system is not going to respond mm-hmm. inappropriately. That's why it's like breast milk or formula only. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very important to not introduce other things before that point, because you're risking them developing sensitivities to foods and their immune system response. You're triggering their immune system response. Mm-hmm. And we see babies get, eczema, different mm-hmm. skin responses, big, gassy bellies, irritability, their mood changes dramatically, they start vomiting. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of things that happen that we're trying to say, like, don't feed your kid this people food or give them juice and things before their gut has had a chance to try to heal itself. Mm-hmm. And people are like, but they want my food. They're looking at me and they're licking their lips and they're trying to reach for my food. Yeah, because they're mimicking you, but they're not ready for it. Mm-mm. And it's hard because you want to give them, like, you want to make them happy and you want to, like, include them in your meal, but it's better for them if you don't. For that reason.
Yeah.
And in the case that their gut never really gets the chance to get a great seal in there and get a healthy lining of good mucosa that's going to protect them, they are kids that are going to have those sensitivities, and they can have mood changes. I mean, their behavior. There's a reason why I heard somebody say there's a reason why it's called a hypersensitivity in kids to certain things, especially like food dyes. And that's one of the key factors in what gives them that hyperactivity mm-hmm. Is their hypersensitivity reaction to different foods, but mm-hmm. particularly like food dyes and things.
Yeah.
Sugar's a whole other
beast. It's like cocaine for kids.
But even kids that have like pretty decent diets and mm-hmm. they still may have these larger protein structures that are getting into their bloodstream because they have leaky gut still. And it's harder to correct as a four-year-old. I mean, if you've ever tried to feed a four-year-old, like, or a two-year-old even for that matter, anything healthy, they're like, nope, I think I'm good. I'm just gonna run over here and eat the goldfish I found in the corner.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
So starting from the jump street, like, from the get-go is one of the easier ways, I feel like, to make sure that they're not gonna have those struggles later on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Introduce them to a lot of different variety of foods early on. Yeah. Not too early, obviously.
Right. But, yes. Once they're cleared, like they're sitting up independently and they're over 6 months of age, mm-hmm. those are two really good signs to look mm-hmm. for. And then once you start introducing the foods, it used to be like, don't give them strawberries and don't give them peanut butter and don't, hold off on all these allergens. And now they're like, nope, give it all to them right away.
Yep.
But in small quantities. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay.
There's actually a product that I use with Ruby to help avoid allergies with her. It's called Ready, Set, Food. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of it? Mm-mm. So it takes like little allergens. You start it at 6 months because I want to make sure obviously the gut's healed. Mm-hmm. I think the article might say you can start sooner, but I didn't start till 6 months. Mm-hmm. But it's like a little powder that has first the three most common allergens, which has milk, eggs, and I don't know if it's peanuts yet at 6 months, but mm-hmm. they tell you that there's like different allergens based on their age.
Okay.
Once they reach a certain age, you can add the next packet. But eventually it has like allergens from like shellfish. It has peanuts. It has different other types of nuts. It's got your dairy products, your gluten products to kind of expose your body to it in small doses. Mm-hmm. So that it's not getting overwhelmed. And you just add it to like their milk or to their, if you're feeding them oatmeal.
Yeah,
to the oatmeal and stuff. It's really cool. It's called Ready, Set, Food.
That's really interesting. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Yeah, I mean, that seems easier than trying to figure out how to feed a kid that doesn't have teeth a peanut.
Yeah.
So, or peanut butter, I guess, would be a little easier.
Yeah, but then they're sitting there like a dog licking the roof of their mouth for an hour.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
But yeah, it was a really cool thing. Facebook's really good at advertising to me, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was a really cool system, and they send it to you, like, you just add it once a day to one bottle is what I did. So I usually did her morning bottle, so that way if she had any reactions, I'd be able to see it, and we could take care of it. I didn't want to do it overnight and her, like, wake up in the middle of the night freaking out. Yeah. But
and I know I've said it a couple times about the protein structure that is what our bodies are reacting to, of every food that would be a reactant
mm-hmm.
Or sensitivity. The protein structure changes depending on how the food is prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in that case, those proteins may be, like, very, very, very small. Like,
oh, probably.
Amino acid level.
Probably at proteins. First, yeah.
And that's good because they're already not big enough to, like, cause chaos in
yeah.
their body.
Yeah.
But it's just enough to be like, okay, this is a little piece of it. This is not dangerous, and we're just going to take it in as nutrition and roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of touched on testing a little bit.
Yeah.
And when you go to an allergist or an immunologist and you get skin prick testing done or blood work done, and they're looking for that IgA IgE response for, like, the anaphylaxis that we talked about first, that's not what's, like, the most common thing that people are using for testing right now. And you, did you have a testing kit that you were using
yeah.
through your office?
Yeah, so we used Creating Balanced Health for a little while. I kind of backed off from doing it just because it got overwhelming.
Yeah, there's a lot
yeah.
going on.
It was a lot going on, yeah, between, you know, seeing patients, opening a nonprofit, doing the saliva testing.
Which, you know, you're just a little bit busy.
It's a little bit. Being a mom, all that fun stuff. But it did a test that tested, basically, they would test your DNA against the allergens.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a saliva test and a hair test, and they, like, broke it down into compound DNA, and they did, like, it would add the allergen to it to see if an inflammatory response happened.
Gotcha.
And that one was really cool. But there are home tests.
I had a friend that has done the Everly Well test.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of different brands, but
mm-hmm.
that was just, I guess, the one Facebook had.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
You know, the ads.
It's all over Facebook, Instagram, all right. those fun things.
And I'm pretty sure those are finger prick tests. Like, you
yeah.
do blood drops on, like, this paper.
I think they have a blood one and a sense, and, like, a saliva one as well
okay.
For Everly Well, but I don't know what their process is.
Okay.
So I don't know the...
And I know she got it in the mail. She did the blood test and then mailed it back, and then they sent her a report on every food that they test for. It was a lot of food. It was maybe 200 mm-hmm. or so, and it gave, like, this was your, like, did you react or not, yes or no, and then a gauge, I guess, like, you had a low, medium, high mm-hmm. reactivity. I don't really know how they measure it.
Yeah.
But it's sensitivity, so it's, they're looking for IgG
mm-hmm.
and IgA, like we've been talking about. And so some of her stuff that came back, like, she was highly reactive to chicken and turkey.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was strange.
That is weird.
Very strange.
She's got a bird allergy.
And then, like, I want to say barley.
Yeah.
Was one of the ones.
That's another one that's pretty common for some reason.
Right, but it's like, it wasn't all things with gluten in them.
Yeah.
But it was like, some of them had gluten in them. And I was like, this is very, very interesting
yeah.
to see. And so I started reading about it because I wanted to know more about it. And while they can be helpful, they aren't always super accurate
mm-hmm.
because they can miss things. So
yeah.
like if you haven't ingested a certain food in a while for whatever reason, then it may show up because that you're not having a reaction to it, but you also haven't exposed yourself to it
because you've made the connections and say
right.
eat cheese, feel bad, stop eat cheese.
Yes,
you know?
And I mean that's great.
yeah.
But there's, you know, cheese is a dairy is super, this huge umbrella.
Oh, huge.
And
yeah.
like some people, they may have a bad reaction to that protein structure of a certain type of cheese, but not at another type.
Yeah.
Or whole milk, they may do all right with, but they can't do yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can't do ice cream. And anybody who's lactose intolerant, they're going to have trouble with all of it because it all has the same milk-based sugar.
Yeah.
But it's the sensitivity is going to be different. And that's also something like people that hear all these things like, oh, I can't have this because if I'm like allergic in quotation marks to it, and they completely avoid it, they're missing out on a lot of good nutritional content.
Mm-hmm.
So those tests are helpful to kind of weed some things out and say, okay, actually this one didn't react, so maybe this one is okay in small quantities.
Yeah.
But say you are reactive to like wheat and cheese of mozzarella cheese, I don't know, and tomatoes. Then you can like, okay, you do all the work and you do all the healing and you go through all these processes that we go through to try to help people heal their gut and control their immune responses. And you go eat some mozzarella cheese and you're like, I feel fine. A week goes by. I still feel okay. That might have been, you know, your immune system's not recognizing that as foreign anymore.
It's healing. Yeah, exactly.
It is definitely possible. Mm-hmm. But then you go and you're like, I'm going to eat a piece of pizza with the wheat, the cheese, and the tomato, and you're going to not feel good because you got you compounded everything, and you got all three things that you're really sensitive to. Even if separately, maybe you tolerate them okay.
Yeah.
Or tomato sauce in one form might be okay, but a raw tomato might not be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super complicated to figure out how you can... Even if something says tomatoes, you're up there as highly allergic or highly sensitive to. See, even I do it. I say allergic, sensitive.
Yeah.
You're intertwining the words.
Oh, yeah. It's easy.
But it may say tomatoes, but it may not be every preparation of tomatoes.
Yeah.
So that's another kind of just hold on those tests. It's not the end-all, be-all of food sensitivity. Mm-hmm. It may not answer all of your questions, but it's a decent place to start.
Even sometimes, I mean, going to an allergist, not always 100% either.
I mean, it will tell you, where you might be safe to not have an anaphylactic reaction.
Exactly. It's more to rule out death.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like, you're else, not, it's not a joke.
Yeah.
I just hate people who are like, I'm going to go to the allergist and get all these answers and find what's wrong, and they get no true answers.
Mm-hmm. Or they find out that they're pretty much allergic to everything and need to stay indoors in a bubble for the rest of their life.
Yeah. And then they don't actually get told how to heal.
No.
And that's just devastating.
Yeah, because
they're afraid of food.
Yeah, you're in an inflammatory state at the point when you're getting it tested.
Right.
So, of course, you're going to have more reactions because your body's already primed to be inflammatory.
Yeah.
So if we can calm down the inflammation, heal the body, and then do the allergen test, see what's actually causing a sensitivity in the body, that's a more accurate reading. And I'm not saying that, like, if you've gotten an allergen test that it's crap. It's not crap.
No.
Your body did respond in an inflammatory way. It's just, okay, stay away from those things for a little while. Let's heal the gut, re-nourish it, and then maybe go back to the allergist and retest and see which ones are still hanging around.
Yeah, and I never, if somebody is coming to me and is like, how can I get tested for food sensitivities? While doing one of those at-home kit tests, it's a cost, like it's $200 or something.
Yeah.
So it's not cheap, but it's not allergy testing.
No.
It's not that extensive. Mm-mm. So it's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. It is going to give you some information, but not all information. And if you're not going to do the work to... I'm going to not say that at all. While you get that test, there's other things you have to do because the whole leaky gut situation, if you can heal your gut lining, then your food sensitivity test is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Like your body's not allowing those proteins to get in where they're not supposed to anymore. You're healing yourself. You're not just saying, oh, I'm sensitive to this. And then going back and saying, well, why am I reacting to this? Why am I sensitive to this? So doing the work is the most important thing.
Yeah. physically and emotionally and mentally.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like we talked about the stress response in the body and how it can trigger a physiological response. You got to dive into your brain well as what you put into your body.
Recognizing what revolves around your feelings about food and when you feel like you're just eating because you want to eat or not because you're hungry and not listening to your body. Mm-hmm. That self-awareness is like the most work. Mm-hmm. because of the delayed reaction.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you will have to keep a detailed journal of what you're eating and how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can make those connections of, I eat eggs and 3 days later I feel like I got hit by a bus.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to look back and make that connection multiple times, probably. You're going to have to eat whole foods that have single ingredients a lot of times. Because yep. That's the only way to rule out added, you know, you're not, additives are in everything processed.
Mm-hmm.
There's natural, if something has natural flavor in it as an ingredient, that is a chemical.
Yeah.
There's nothing natural about it. It's a chemical in your food.
It's a chemical that mimics natural flavors.
You're right. Yeah. And it's not even like a flavor. It didn't mm-hmm. even come from a food. It was engineered.
Yeah.
Like, that is not a food. It's a product. It's a chemical, literally.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're looking specifically at food, you have to cut out most everything that has a gluten piece. Meaning any sugar that is made from something with gluten in it.
Mm-hmm.
Dairy. Those are my first two.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, you're already eliminating pretty much everything fast food.
Yep.
Because you just don't know what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything processed that has all a buttload of sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is daunting for people
mm-hmm.
to think, you mean I can't like eat something packaged? 9 times out of 10, no.
And in all honesty, this is why I'm actually kind of a fan of the Whole30 diet.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having an inflammatory response and your gut is torn up, the Whole30 diet is a great place to start. It tells you which big food groups to avoid, and then you avoid it for 30 days, and they slowly guide you into adding it back in to seeing how you react.
It's fabulous, especially if you're somebody that has been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease or chronic pain,
mm-hmm.
or you have, you know, a brain fog and emotional response overload, stress issues that you're like, I'm going crazy. I feel crazy. Like, do the elimination.
Mm-hmm.
It's short term in the like grand yeah. scheme of things. It's
yeah.
60 days
mm-hmm.
of really focusing on what you're putting in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to do that, like, yeah, it's hard. It's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And if you're already stressed out and you're already, you know, got way too much on your plate and you are in the grind and you're living that fast paced, go, go, go all the time life, adding something else that you feel like you have to do is probably going to feel more stressful. So this may not be the best time
Mm-mm.
to do that before you work on other pieces and,
yeah.
and reducing your stress.
Reducing stress is the number one thing, because anything can cause irritation and inflammation.
Yes.
If you change
yeah. your diet, but you're still neck deep in whatever's going on and you are drowning almost, then
mm-hmm.
it's not going to matter.
No.
Because your body is still trying to survive. And
mm-hmm.
it's going to be attacking food that may not be dangerous to you.
So mm-hmm.
that's definitely something that I'm looking to.
Yeah.
But as we say every single time, there's no one right answer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one diet that anybody can put you on.
Mm-mm.
Even if they say, oh, this is the elimination diet that is going to heal you and it's, you know, this works for everyone. Carnivore. Carnivore is funny to me.
It's really funny to me too.
Just like, I don't know why it's funny to me, but like sitting there watching somebody eat like a bowl of meat. It's like, oh, I mean, okay, whatever.
I mean, whatever makes you happy, but my gut would be like, I need some fiber, please.
Yes. I mean, there's not one label that you're going to get for a diet that's going to be, like, healing.
And no two people are the same.
Right.
Everything's gray. There's no black and white in the sensitivity world. It's not like morals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no, like, bad food.
No.
I think that's really important to say.
Yes.
Actually, there is a bad food. Sugar is bad. But added sugar is bad.
Natural sugars, like in fruits.
Fruit sugar. Okay, we'll be okay with fruit sugar. I'm never going to say don't eat fruit to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But processed added sugar, bad.
Yeah. And then once again, though, it's moderation. Like if you're at a birthday party, eat the piece of cake and get over it. But don't eat a whole cake every night.
You know,
that's when it becomes bad. Anything in too much quantity is inflammatory. I mean, everyone says sugar is, like, inflammatory number one.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are foods that are never going to be something that is going to help you heal. If it's got anti-nutrient-filled junk, you're probably going to have to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
You got to clear the water and then start the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who clear that water, they don't even need any more investigation.
That was me.
Right.
Yep. It fixed my, had no blood.
Yeah.
I was a vampire, craving blood every day.
Yeah.
And fixed it. My body healed itself. And now I eat dairy and gluten, but I'm not like.
And I mean, every once in a while, like if you are somebody that can eat, you may tolerate it one serving a day. You may tolerate it one serving a week.
Mm-hmm.
Or a couple a week, you know, but if it's not something like, you don't pour cheese over everything you eat.
No. And it's like when I'm getting the gluten, I'm getting it in whole grain form. So it's getting the wheat and the germ and the gluten. Mm-hmm. It's getting all three parts of the whole grain versus just the processed gluten.
Yeah.
And when you get your foods from whole sources, it gives you things you need to digest all parts of it versus the processed forms where they're breaking it down to make it easier and more affordable to make.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes it harder on your body because your body has to find ways to digest something that it doesn't have all the parts it needs.
Yeah.
Which is why we see problems with people with nutrient deficiencies. And
pretty much everybody has a nutrient deficiency.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The food that is grown now is the soil doesn't have the nutrients in it.
Mm-mm.
And no matter, even if it's organic and sustainable and all that, unless they work real hard to create some complex soil with some compost and some worm castings and all the, I don't garden, but just
all the big words,
big things that you do to soil to make it favorable for whatever plant you're putting in.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, I mean, really hard to tell if we're eating the same food quality with that as we were 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything has changed. So.
GMO is happened to plants too.
GMOs, I don't know.
It's wild.
It is wild.
It's not, I wouldn't say bad, but it's not, that sounded like a sheep when I said that.
Bad.
But I wouldn't say it's necessarily bad because I know it has made things simpler for farmers. But I'm not sure if we've seen the full effects that it could have.
We haven't.
Yeah.
We've been screwing around with the DNA of plants and then wonder how it's going to. So I heard this recently and it's kind of scary, but the grain amaranth is very common in Indian culture and cuisine, Indian cuisine. It's kind of like how oats would be in America, like very widely used grain and very good for your grain. It's considered an invasive species in the United States, and it's like a weed. And that weed, because a lot of agriculture uses like glyphosate and different chemicals to spray to prevent weeds and to prevent pests, that one is particularly resistant now. So they have created some kind of I don't know if they've created another type of pesticide or some other chemical that can kill this resistant amaranth strain, or if they're trying to genetically modify the amaranth to, like, basically go out of existence, like they're trying to make it extinct.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have this massive impact on the food availability in the across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in the news. It's not, like, you'd have to go search for it, but it's definitely something that's being talked about.
Yeah.
Maybe not a lot in America because it doesn't have as much of an impact here that we know about. Mm-hmm. But it's all the things, like, we don't know.
Mm-mm. There's...
But biodiversity in food has just been slammed shut. I mean, mm-hmm. there's... We think of a tomato. We think of, like, a reddish-colored, round fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a fruit.
Yeah.
And heirloom tomatoes are every shade from white to black, literally.
Mm-hmm. They're all over the place.
Green, brown, purple, pink, yellow. Like, I mean, literally, tomatoes have this, like, huge variety. Same thing with corn.
Yeah.
We've been conditioned to think that corn is this, like, whitish-yellow when... Native American varieties are rainbow.
Black.
Literally white, rainbow.
Yellow, yep.
And, like, it's, that's what's, those are where those nutrients come from that we need, that we have basically removed from our diet.
Yeah, and that's why everyone supplements.
Yeah.
Because they aren't getting it in the food, because it's been taken out of our food.
And it's sad, but it's the same thing. I mean, apple varieties.
Mm-hmm.
We only think about the ones we see in the store. And there's only, like, maybe 6-7 kinds of apple varieties, when there's literally hundreds of genetic variations of apples.
Yeah.
And it's just been, these are the ones that we sell in the store, so these are the ones we want to grow. And
my favorite thing is going to orchards, so, like, private orchards, and seeing all the different types of apples that are there. Like, each row is different, and they tell you about the flavor profiles, and...
Grapes are the same.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. There's so much out there that we just don't use because it's not mass produced and bought by the public. You can't.
And like eggs, too. If you think eggs, I know I'm on an egg kick right now. Apparently, my brain is like, go eat some eggs. But
it's
like eggs that you get from the grocery store, like if you were to ask my 7-year-old what's an egg look like, she's going to say it's little and round and it's white. When eggs, colors vary from, you know, brown, green, gray.
Spotted, like, white, and brown.
Right.
Yeah.
And if I were to tell her, like, this is also an egg, this is an egg from this chicken that had this diet and this amount of sunlight and lived in this climate, she's going to be like, that's not an egg. Like, something wrong with that egg.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like, conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of scary.
It is scary because... we've made it black and white when it needs to continue to be gray.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into a whole other subject here that maybe you and Chelsea can cover. But with our children, like, they're being conditioned to learn that this is what is normal and this is what is correct. And anything that is outside of this is something's wrong with it. And they take it into their own personal little brains and they're like, well, I have to conform and be normal or else somebody's going to think something's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, anyway.
We're getting a little radical here.
Yeah.
I'm for it, though.
Yeah. I would be, but we probably shouldn't talk for 3 hours on.
Yeah.
But basically, we're going to sum it up. We're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
If you feel like you've got these symptoms, if you have GI symptoms, if you've got lots of indigestion, cramping, bloating, diarrhea, lots of gas, constipation, basically anything GI related is in your interest to look into a cleanup, a dietary cleanup, elimination. Start from Whole30 would be, you know, that's probably one of the few that I'm like, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
It is pretty radical, though, so be prepared to get your world rocked and
you'll be grumpy for the first, like, 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, be grumpy.
Yeah.
But those aren't the only things. If you have generalized pain, if you have brain fog, if you have skin rashes, especially if you have a combination of those three, if you have trouble sleeping, if you have hyper-reactivity emotionally, your kids are hyper-reactive, or if they have ADHD, or if they have autism even, look into their diet. Look into their food intolerances. Look into their gut health, their microbiome. The research is out there. I mean, I didn't do the research. This is another, we're going to caveat here. I had to create a very extensive project, like a thesis, essentially, when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in that process, we learned about how people conduct research.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so rigorous and extensive, and it is not something that one person can do through Instagram or Google or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't do research.
Mm-mm.
We read other people's research.
We gather information.
Yes.
Produced by other people.
Right.
Yeah.
We consume media.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. you have to make sure you're consuming good quality information.
Yeah, so when you post your radical opinions online, don't say I've done the research.
Please, dear
sister, God. You haven't done the
you
research.
You lost me if you say that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you did? I've got lots
How
of questions.
How was the double blind study?
Right.
How did that
I
go?
I have lots of questions.
Tell me your methods.
How did you collect your participants?
Yeah.
But no, just I just want to remind people, like, we don't do research. And so the information that you read, where you get that information is important, and you should get information from multiple sources.
Yeah, for sure.
Even sources that you may at face value not necessarily agree with. Get the people's opinions that you're like, I don't know if I agree with that. Let me learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides of whatever you're looking at, because being able to be unbiased and gather all of the information and then make a decision on which way you want to lean.
Mm-hmm.
But also being open to both sides at all times is super important.
Mm-hmm. The biggest thing for looking, if you're looking for quality research, look at who funded it.
Yes. Oh, God.
Yes. So if you're looking for the effects of soda on, you know, children, don't want to read the one that's backed by Coca-Cola.
Right.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. So whoever funded it, whoever's putting the money into it, it's going to have a bias.
100%. They're going to tell you what makes their product favorable, and it's going to say no correlation was made mm-hmm. between soda and
ADHD
obesity. Anything. And I mean, when we know, like, are you sure?
It's sugar water.
Right.
It's literal sugar water that's carbonated. Yeah.
But even like artificial sweeteners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Artificial sweeteners are chemicals that we're putting in our body that have negative effects. They're not benign substances. Now, if you weigh 400 pounds because you drink 4 20-ounce Cokes a day and you need to lose some weight and you switch to your diet beverages to lose some weight, go for it, mama.
Oh, yeah.
I'm proud of you for making that change. Like, we are going to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And every step's a step.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it. But if you have brain fog and you have joint pain and you have all these other issues, and you drink 4 diet sodas a day, or not that many even, I mean, but if you drink anything with artificial sweeteners in it, mm-hmm. it's a possibility that that may need to be eliminated to see if it improves your health and improves mm-hmm. the way you feel. Nothing's off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And if you eat 100% clean organic food all the time, but you love your different body products and lotions, and or you love candles and different fragrances in your house, like, there are toxins everywhere that we might have to eliminate to see how you feel and detox, help your liver be able to detox those toxins. And when, you know, we may have to start a little bit of everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Not just what you put in your body, what you put around your body matters too.
Yep. Anyway, you're going to start with what we just said.
I don't remember what we just said. Soda to diet soda. Basically, any step toward the right direction is going to be the right step.
Yeah.
Even if it's the tiniest thing as, like, cutting out one dessert a week, just start somewhere.
Yeah.
Something manageable that you can attain that's not like, I am eliminating all things all at once, because then you're going to crash, burn, get frustrated, think that you can never do this, and it's all about baby steps.
Yes. And go to somebody they trust that will help guide you.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be with you every step of the way, and, you know, figure it out with you.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be able to go to somebody and be like, oh, you have the answers. You are the savior of my health and you're going to fix me, when really, like, they're investigating it right along with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're having to learn about your bio-individuality and figure out what works for you with you over time.
Mm-hmm. Once again, there's no right or wrong answer. No. Everybody is different.
Yeah. And I'm here for it if you need help, so contact me.
Give her a call. Her Instagram tag is always in the description of our episodes. So if you ever need to know how to get a hold of Casey, that's how you can do it. Fizz Nutrition.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. At Fizz something or other. I think there's a dot in there somewhere. But anyway, it's in her description. So check it out. Give us a message if you guys have any further questions on sensitivities or any of the stuff we talked about with positive change, because you know us, we always
go on tangents.
Yep, that's just because we're passionate human beings, and that's what we do. But in conclusion, everything's gray. Like a dog. Everything's gray.
Right.
So
and just smile and breathe and
go. It's going to be okay.
Go outside. Don't be afraid of food.
Don't be afraid of food. Don't be afraid of pollen. All right. We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.